globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno o poldan.
Belo prekletstvo. Swazi ali Eswatini. Vprašanje o poimenovanju te majhne afriške države dobro ilustrira politično okolje v njej. Kralj zadnje zares absolutistične monarhije v Afriki, Mswati III., ki je ugnezdena med Republiko Južno Afriko in Mozambik, se je zamenjavo imena namreč odločil povsem enostransko ob praznovanju 50. obletnice samostojnosti. To je storil brez kakršnekoli javne razprave ali pobude, na ustavnem sodišču pa že poteka pritožba, ki jo je proti menjavi imena vložila sicer zatirana opozicija. Večino nasprotnikov menjave imena skrbi predvsem ogromen strošek, ki ga je monarhija predvidela za menjavo imena na vseh javnih mestih, dokumentih in uradih. Ta je za državo, kjer večina ljudi komaj živi na majhnem koščku zemlje ali pa životari ob dnevnih migracijah v Republiko Južno Afriko, težko opravičljiv. V nadaljevanju bomo v duhu solidarnosti z zatiranimi in zaradi rabe tega izraza pri našem sogovorniku uporabljali izraz Kraljevina Swazi. Kralj pa je v svoji odločitvi, kot ponavadi, neomajen in težko je pričakovati, da bo vrhovno sodišče, ki je povsem pod nadzorom kralja, odločilo v prid opoziciji. O političnem sistemu v Svaziju, eden izmed vodi opozicijske stranke Podemo v izgnanstvu, Baki Dlamini.
Swaziland is an easy political system to understand. It's a dictatorship of the monarchy. It's an absolute monarchy. An absolute monarchy is whereby all power is vested on the king. This is something that happened in 1973. That was 5 years after we received our independence from the British. The then king, who is the father of the current king, decided to abrogate the independence constitution and ban all political parties. So political parties have remained banned in Swaziland since 1973. And now power is all centered around the king. The most important thing is that the king uses the political power to control the economy and also to control the social life of the population. So that is how the situation is in terms of the political power. Everything, every interest that the government is serving is the interest of the king.
Država se je statusa britanskega protektorata osvobodila leta 1968 in sprva je kazalo, da bo nadaljevala pot kot nekakšna parlamentarna monarhija po vzoru prejšnje oblastnice. A kmalu po osamosvojitvi je monarhija prevzela vse vajeti v državi in leta 1973 prepovedala vse politične stranke. Kljub novi ustavi iz leta 2006, ki dovoljuje politična zborovanja, so stranke prepovedane. Vsakih 5 let sicer izvedejo volitve, a kralj na to nastavi vlado in vse pomembnejše sodnike. O dejanski podpori kraljevini je v takšnem regresivnem sistemu brez resnih političnih alternativ težko govoriti.
The monarchy of course seems to have support like any other dictatorship. It seems to have support until it falls. So the monarchy has support. You can see when the king is organizing his big events, But I would say this support is superficial because there are these underlying problems that are facing the people. For example, on the 19th of April this year, the king was celebrating his 51st birthday, and he spent so much money in a country that is struggling economically, and in a country where we have over 60% of the population living in poverty. So that shows that there are underlying problems to the support that is seen to be given to the king.
Državo poleg omenjene revščine pesti tudi huda epidemija HIV-a in drugih bolezni. Več kot četrtina izredno mlade populacije, medijanska starost je namreč okrog 20 let, je okužena z virusom HIV, vlada pa ne izvaja politik, ki bi epidemijo omejile. Še več, predstavniki kraljevine pogosto namigujejo na morebitno koristnost, milo rečeno spornih, vraževernih praks, kot so spolni odnosi z devicami, ki naj bi okužene očistili virusa. Kljub temu, da kralj vsako leto zapravi milijone evrov državnih sredstev za moderno opremo, nova letala in draga potovanja v tujino, je kraljevina še vedno močno zasidrana v tradicijah plemena Swazi. Poleg rednega obredja si vladar na primer vsak rojstni dan izbere novo devico, ki jo doda svoji zbirki žena. Ta zasidranost monarhije v tradiciji ljudstva in zgodovini je eden od virov moči in podpore kralja. Pomembno vlogo v podporni strukturi monarhije pa igra tudi mednarodna pomoč državi. Med državami, ki izdatno financirajo kraljevino Swazi, prednjačita predvsem Evropska unija in Združene države Amerike. Znatne vsote pa poleg mednarodnih razvojnih organizacij, kot je Svetovna banka, presenetljivo prispevajo Japonska in Republika Kitajska oziroma Tajvan. Dlamini ob tem omenja, da je glavni problem financiranja razvojnih projektov slab nadzor nad profiti, ki jih proizvedejo razvojni programi. Večino teh, po njegovem mnenju, pobere kraljeva blagajna, ki jih ne porablja za dobrobit ljudi. Brez te pomoči bi kraljevina gotovo zašla v hude finančne težave, ki bi gotovo najbolj prizadele njene revne prebivalce. Kljub temu pa si je težko predstavljati, da države donatorice nimajo možnosti pritiskanja na kraljevino za politične spremembe. Naš sogovornik sicer poudarja, da so nekateri izmed projektov zelo uspešni in dobrodošli.
There are fantastic programs that the EU has come up with. For example, I will talk about free primary education. The government was supposed to introduce free primary education in 2010. So the European Union has been funding that until the end of this, until the end last year. That was the last year of the funding. So that has been significant in terms of funding free primary education. The other issue which the European Union has been greatly supporting the government is on large scale expansion on the production of sugar. Around Lucip, which is in the low field of Swaziland. So the European Union has been single-handedly funding that project.
In ravno proizvodnji sladkorja se bomo posvetili v nadaljevanju oddaje. Kraljevina Swazi je namreč izredno rodovitna in primerna za proizvodnjo sladkornega trsa in zato sladkorja. Tja so trs kot glavno kulturno surovino in kolonialni izvoz prinesli Britanci in začeli množično ustanavljati ogromne plantaže.
Sugar is so important for Swaziland. It's so important for Swaziland. My only glitch with the support of the European Union on the sugar is that when you look at these resources, most of the money that comes from sugar benefits the monarchy. I will explain how that happens. Sugar is huge. It employs a lot of people in Swaziland. About 16% of the population, that is adult population, is linked to the sugar industry in terms of employment. So sugar is quite big. I must explain that we've been selling a lot of sugar to the European Union. Before, at some point, it was over 30% of the total sugar was going to the European Union. But now it has gone down because the sugar regime has changed. So the European Union is a big buyer of that sugar. They, we have what we call Southern African Customs Union that also buys a big chunk of the sugar from Swaziland.
Sladkor in prehranski izdelki z visoko vsebnostjo sladkorja so glavni izvoz kraljevine in eden izmed glavnih finančnih tokov monarhije. Večino sladkornega trsa proizvedajo majhni proizvajalci, ki surovino predajo velikim predelovalnim koncernom, ti pa so v večinskem lastništvu države oziroma kralja. Ta povsem nadzoruje državno proizvodnjo z lastništvom v dveh korporacijah, ki izvozita praktično v sladkor iz države.
The structure of the sugar industry in Swaziland, we have these two companies that are running, that are managing or producing sugar. One is the one you referred to, the Royal Swaziland Sugar Corporation, and then Ilovo, which is another company. I must mention one of the key shareholders in the Royal Swaziland Sugar Corporation and the other company, Ilovo. That is Tibiyo Takangwane. Tibiyo Takangwane is this sovereign wealth fund which was formed just before independence, 1967. The purpose of Tibiyo was to galvanize all resources to help develop the country. So it was supposed to be a national sovereign fund. But that fund has slowly been taken away from the people. Now, all the people who are serving in the board of Tibiyo are appointed by the king. And the financial statement of Tibiyo is never presented on parliament. The relationship between Tibiyo and sugar in Swaziland, Tibiyo owns 53% of shares at RSSC. And then 40% of shares in the other company, Ilov.
Državni razvojni sklad Tibiyo Takangwane je bil sicer ustanovljen kot razvojni program ob osamosvojitvi in naj bi pomagal razvoju revnih regij v državi. Vlada trdi, da se sredstvi sklada financira obnova namakalnih sistemov in razvoj perifernih, pretežno nerazvitih kmetijskih področji. Ker pa poslovanje sklada vse od ukinitve strankarske in demokratične ureditve države ni javno, nadzora nad porabo denarja ni.
And these proceeds, they go directly to the king. Nothing comes back into the economy or into public coffers. So that is how Tibiyo is able to make money using the sugar industry. I will just highlight other shareholders in Tibiyo. I mean, in RSSC, we have strikingly the Nigerian government, which owns 10%. There's a South African company, RCL Foods, which has 29%. And Coca-Cola, which is just over 1%. So these are the shareholders of the Royal Swaziland Sugar Corporation. So when you look at this money that the European Union is throwing into supporting the sugar industry in Swaziland, who is the most beneficiary out of this? It is, of course, the Swazi monarch that benefits out of that.
Idejna zasnova razvojnega sklada pa nakazuje bolj dobronamerne začetke razvoja sladkorne industrije v Svaziju. Že kolonialni oblastniki, Britanci, so v sladkorju prepoznali potencialno gospodarsko prihodnost države in razvoja regije v dobičkonosno kolonijo, Ob osamosvojitvi pa je bila sladkorna industrija obljubljena kot glavni korak v gospodarski osamosvojitvi in stabilnosti nove države. Najbolje zgodbo upanja in nepresenetljivega razočaranja opiše program preseljevanja kmetov v regijo Vuvuzele.
The British of course were under pressure in the 50s because when we look at the sugar industry in Swaziland, the investment started in 1950s investment in sugar. This was in response to that the British had not been investing much in terms of development in Swaziland. So then agriculture was seen as one way of investing. And sugar was one of those. So this CDC, which was at the time called the Colonial Development Corporation, had this initiative of giving land to rural farmers so that they can learn how to grow sugar. They had the 20-year lease to start growing sugar and learn over that period. The deal was that after 20 years, then they will have the land. So the first settlements were at Vuvuzele around 1964.
Preseljevanje kmetov na vzhodni, niže ležeči del države ob meji z Mozambikom je takrat začel britanski postkolonialni razvojni sklad Colonial Development Corporation, ki se je kmalo preimenoval v Commonwealth Development Corporation. Na območje, ki ga strokovnjaki ocenjujejo kot eno izmed 10 za sladkorni trs najbolj rodovitnih območij na svetu, so preselili posebej izbrane, izkušene in uspešne kmetovalce. Na kmetijah, ki so jim bile dodeljene, so na 3/4 gojili sladkorni trs, ki so ga zaston predali državni korporaciji Royal Swaziland Sugar Corporation, na preostali četrtini pa zelenjavo in druge poljščine za preživetje. Dokumenti projekta dokazujejo, da jim je bilo po 20 letih takšnega tlačanskega delovanja obljubljeno lastništvo zemlje, ki so jo obdelovali.
20 years down the line, that is in mid 1980s, the land was supposed to be transferred to the farmers, to be full owners of that land. But that didn't happen. And there is also a political reason to that, besides the economic side. The Swazi monarchy has never liked to have people owning land, because land is seen as a very powerful force for political and social control. So once these farmers if these farmers would have the land in their own name, then slowly the king is going to lose his grip politically. Swaziland has a dual land tenure system. We have the freehold, which is the title deed land, and then we have the Swazi nation land. The Swazi nation land is the one that is communally owned, cannot be bought, cannot be sold. And you cannot use that as mortgage. And that land is the one that the monarch uses so much to control politically and also social. So Vuvuzele, when it was established, it was part of the Swazi nation land, but then it became part of the title deed land when it was eventually transferred to the king.
Kmetje, ki so sodelovali v projektu, so tako žrtve politične degradacije svazijske družbe in ukinitve nadzora nad delovanjem kraljeve vlade. Ob navideznem valu reform okoli leta 2006, ki je sproduciral tudi novo ustavo, je vlada naročila tajno interno pravno revizijo postopkov programa Vuvuzele. Ta je, kot je pokazalo poznejše razkritje dokumentov, pokazala, da je bil oduzem zemlje sicer protipraven, a skladen s svazijsko tradicijo, v kateri si kralj lahko lasti vso zemljo v državi.
No, some of the farmers were removed from the land. Physically removed by police from the land and thrown to other parts of Swaziland. Because legally, now this land is under the ownership of the king. Although this was is not part of the deal which was there initially when the settlements were started. So the farmers were physically removed from that land. And there has been other problems there whereby, for example, the irrigation system is shut down such that it cannot support the crops that the farmers have.
Zemljo zdaj upravlja prej omenjena Royal Swaziland Sugar Corporation, ki na ogromnih plantažah na njej večinoma še naprej goji sladkor. Kmetje, ki so jih odstranili zemlje, so to praktično zaston obdelovali 20 let, zdaj pa nimajo nobene možnosti za pritožbo zoper postopke izgona. 11. člen ustave kraljevine Svazi namreč pravi, da je kralj pravno nedotakljiv, v kazenskih ali civilnih pravnih postopkih ne sme nastopiti niti kot priča.
That's the difficult one, because in Swaziland, by law, the king cannot be taken to court. The king controls the judiciary, even if for that case, we would be lucky for the king to go to court. But the king doesn't go to court. Him as a person and also his private business interests. TBO is involved in this debacle that the farmers are facing. So it's difficult to seek recourse in the Swazi courts and expect the farmers to win. You cannot take the king to court. He's immune from any form of legal prosecution or proceedings. And this then translates to all his dealings, even if they are business. No, they rely on charity from individuals. The government is not supporting them in any way. Because the argument here is that that land didn't belong to them, so they had to move from the land. And constitutionally, it's supposed to be compensated, because the constitution says that if somebody will have to be moved from their land, they will have to be compensated. But of course, the Swazi constitution is not a document that is taken seriously by the government.
Primer kmetov iz Vuvolane tako ni zgolj primer zatiranja skupine prebivalcev v interesu pridobitništva, ampak absolutnega propada politične ureditve države, ki ne deluje več primarno v interesu lastnih državljanov, ampak v interesu kralja in njegovih prijateljev. Kljub nesporni in dokumentirani pravici posameznikov do omenjenih parcel, v državi preprosto ni politične volje oziroma moči, ki bi stopila v bran izgnancem.
Yeah. No, some researchers have actually found tons and tons of documents which actually point out to this fact that this land should have been given back to the farmers 20 years down the line after the establishment of the settlements. So it's not a question of whether the farmers cannot prove that they are supposed to get the land. It's clear that they should get the land, but they don't have the power, the political power that is needed to have that land. It will be very difficult for anything to change without addressing the political situation in Swaziland. One of the biggest challenges that we will deal with in a democratic Swaziland is the land question in Swaziland. It's a complex and messed up system, this dual system that we have. But I think there is recourse for the farmers. I think litigating outside Swaziland, that might help.
Dogajanje v kraljevini Swazi je povzel Koruza.
Globalization, to a large extent, is actually removing responsibility from people within their own locality to take care of themselves.
We know that people do not know who rules or why and how he rules. And yet they know that there is a power that certainly rules.
And we travel 1,000 miles in an hour and a half. We have traveled through whole areas of existence which we have not necessarily gained. We will pop into a Hindu village, but we won't know a damn thing about that Hindu village.
If you push that all the way, you see, what it means is that we will increasingly tend to inhabit all of these areas in depth simultaneously.
Južna hemisfera. Vsako drugo sredo poročamo o južni polobli. Točno opoldan.
Kadivši časopis, bravši radio in poslušavši pipo, je mladi Čestimir ugotovil, da ni pomembno, kaj ti pravi srce, pomembno je, kaj ti pravi radio študent.